Good to see everyone out this evening. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we'll get into God's Word this evening. While you're turning there, like I said, I'm glad for everybody that's come. I thank you for all coming. Thank you for those that's listening online. And I want to say thank you. My aunt and my uncle are here this evening. I don't get to see them at church very often, but they've come to visit this evening and slipped in on me. I didn't even know they was back there. So thank you guys for coming. Glad to see you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this evening, and verse number 8 we'll start reading. Pray for my throat this evening. It's been a little scratchy this weekend. We're going to start reading in verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the preaching of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse number 12, for the which I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard in me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that the good thing which was committed unto thee keep keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Let's pray this evening. Lord, I just want to thank you for allowing us to come in and to your house again tonight, Lord, and to worship you, Lord, and to hear from your word. God, I pray that you'll help me as I preach, Lord. I ask that you'll give me clarity of speech, Lord, that you'll help my throat to work good, Lord, that my voice will go for us this evening, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just give me the words to say, God. I pray that this message will be used for good, to help somebody this evening that's listening, Lord. And God, it's a message from your word, and we know that your word is true and pure and everything in it's right, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this evening comes from verse number 12 in that chapter, that passage that we read. Do you know whom you have believed? I want to ask you tonight, do you know whom you have believed? Do you know God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know God's Word? I think it's interesting what Brother Ed got up and said just a few minutes ago about dealing with some of the Mormon people in the community, and he said to be careful if you don't know your Bible, if you don't know what you're talking about, you better stay back, because they know what they're talking about. They've been trained in that. They have an answer for everything that you can come up with. And that's what I want to preach about tonight, is do you know God? Do you know the God of the Bible? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Do you have His Word hid in your heart? And that's the title of my message tonight. Verse number 12, do you know whom you have believed? I want to ask us tonight, what do you believe? Do you know Him? I know a lot of times in the course of a conversation, we're talking to somebody and maybe some religion comes up or somebody. I know just this last weekend I was with a man. We went down to Mountain Home, Arkansas, and we picked up some stuff. And on the way back, I said something about one of the church houses that we passed. This man, I don't believe he knows the Lord as his Savior. And I said something about this church house as we drove by it. And in the course of the conversation, it came up, and he said, well, I believe, and he was raised Catholic, this man. And I know a lot of times in the course of conversation, we have a lot of times people say, well, I believe, even if we're witnessing to somebody or we're talking to somebody about the Lord and we're trying to explain to them the gospel, then maybe we listen to their side of the story a little bit, and the conversation comes up, and you say, well, you know, I believe Jesus died. I believe this, I believe that. I want to tell you tonight, it's not what you believe, It's what this Word says. It's what God's Word says. I can believe any number of things. I can make up in my imagination. I can twist the Scriptures. I can carve out a God in my mind that has nothing to do with the God of the Bible. But it's what do you believe? Do you believe the God of the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe Jesus Christ? Recently, I had my wife had put a post on Facebook. It said that something to the effect that a lot of people have died and have went to hell, and we've went to graveyards and funerals, and we've said that, oh, these are good people, we'll see them again someday. And most of those people have died and gone to hell, and if we loved them enough to tell them the truth, we would tell them that, you know what, those people were lost in their sins, and they're burning in hell tonight. And I had a man that came on to that Facebook feed there, he made a comment, and he said, you know what, he started talking about, he had some kind of a video that he posted on there, his JW Witness thing, the Jehovah Witness thing. He said, I don't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. He said, I don't believe that there is an existence of hell. He said, the Bible says, and he started quoting Scriptures. He says it's death. It's not hell. It ain't got nothing to do with hell. He said, when you die, you die. He said, punishment's here on earth. And he went on, and he was throwing Scriptures at different things. And somebody else came in there, and they commented again. They said, well, it looks like you're well studied. It looks like you have learned the Scriptures. It looks like you know what you're talking about. Because he said, what do I believe? And this is what I believe, he says. The sad thing about it, that man used to be a student at this school. Used to be a good friend of mine. Had sat in this church house and listened to preaching. Knows the truth. But at some point in his life, somebody said, what do you believe? And he didn't have anything to back it up with. Was taken in by the false doctrine. It sounded good. A theology that sets his mindset. And he was taken into that. The person that commented and said that they thought he was trained and studied and learned, and you know what? Her grandpa used to be a pastor. Baptist preacher. Good man. Taught the truth. She'd sat under good preaching. Had heard the King James Bible preached and the gospel preached. And knows the truth. But at some point, somebody said, what do you believe? They may have not had a good basis for their belief system. May have not had a good understanding of what the Bible says. Or maybe it was that this thing that they had been bought into and sold a bill of goods, that maybe it sounded better and fit their theology better. Maybe whatever it might be. But at some point, that person was told, what do you believe? What do you believe tonight about God? A lot of people have a belief about God. Some people believe that God doesn't even exist. Some people believe that they're their own God. I'm the God of my own universe. Some people believe God is everywhere, in everything, not the true God of heaven. Some people believe that there's many gods. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says tonight. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that He's the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female, amen, created He them. I'm going to tell you tonight that God is almighty. God is in control. Whether you realize it or not, whether you want Him to be in control of your life or not, whether you feel like God is all-powerful or not, it doesn't matter what you believe. The Bible says that God is almighty. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. God is holy. In Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44, he says, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. A lot of people would say that, yeah, God is those things. God is love. And I would agree, and we're going to read some scriptures about God's love. But God's holiness is supreme. His righteousness is above His love. God says that He commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, the Bible says, and there's some more verses, we'll get to them in a little bit, about God's love, but that's not God's greatest attribute. As this man said to me in our Facebook post, he said, God is a loving God. How could He send someone to hell? He made a reference to parenthood. He said, how could any parent who loves their children put their child's hand in an oven for just a minute to teach them a lesson? If that being the case, how could God send somebody to an eternity in hell if He's a loving God? How do you answer somebody like that? What do you tell them?
You've got to be His child first.
You've got to be His child first. That's exactly right. A lot of times we'll say, well, I believe in these conversations that come up. What I'm trying to get to you tonight is what we believe has got nothing to do with the Scripture. If we believe God's Word, we're doing right. Yes. But our belief system does not change God. It does not change God's Word. It does not change truth.
Yes.
And I can say to that man, you know what? I believe that this would be a good argument, or I believe that God would do this, or this is what I think God would say, or this is what I think God would do. No, that's not, even if I'm saying what the Scripture says, I'm coming across as my authority.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
Because I believe,
yep,
or I think. It's got to be the Bible.
Amen.
It's got to be Scripture. So the proper answer to any time somebody comes up with any kind of doctrine or any kind of something wild that they've made up, or their thought system or their religion or their basis, or they say, you have to answer them with God's Word.
Amen.
That's the only way to answer people is with God's Word. You might have it in your head. You may not be able to give the exact Scripture or be able to quote it perfectly. But if your answer is coming from God's Word, God will bless that. And that's what I want to try to get across to us tonight, is what do you believe? 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible says, There is none as holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. The Bible says that God is the one true God. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 10, But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. John chapter 17 and verse number 3. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him as He is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Did you catch that? That we may know Him. That we may know Him. Do you know who you're believing in? Do you know Jesus Christ tonight? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you know about Jesus Christ? You know, it's not enough to just come to Sunday school, to come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night.
Right.
You need to be able to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That personal relationship is not just, hey, I want to be saved. I want Jesus in my life. I want to be a Christian. A relationship has conversations. A relationship has a closeness. You need to be in God's Word. This is His gift to you. This is where He talks to you from. You need to be in prayer at all times. As Brother Danny mentioned this morning, we're not spending enough time in prayer. We're not spending enough time mourning over people's lost condition. We're not spending enough time praying for our loved ones that are having trouble or going through hard times or whatever it may be. We need to be having a personal conversation with Jesus Christ. We need to be having a personal walk with Him at all times. Do you know Him? Say, well, yeah, I know Him. You know, a lot of times people, I know a lot of people. I've acquainted with a lot of people. Sometimes somebody says, well, you know Phil. Well, yeah, I know Phil. I don't know Phil as good as I know my wife. Me and Phil are pretty good friends. I like Phil. I'd do anything for him. Love him as a brother. But I don't have the relationship with him that I have with my wife. My wife is dear to me. I spend a lot of time with my wife. If I can, I'll spend every waking moment that I can with her. Because I love her.
Amen.
Do you love Jesus Christ?
There you go. Man, that's it.
Jesus has taken the church as His bride.
Yeah.
I like spending time with my wife. My wife, for some odd, strange reason, she likes to spend time with me. I think it's a great arrangement. You know what? Sometimes we get mad at one another. Can you imagine that? Every now and then it's my fault. But we still like to spend time with one another.
Amen.
When she gets upset at me, you know what? We can be mad at one another, but we want to fix that relationship.
Yeah.
We want to make things better. We want to be able to have a closeness with each other. Whenever she asks for forgiveness, I'll give it to her. Amen? Now, you know that's not true. My wife...
Where are you sleeping tonight, brother?
Well, we only got no extra bedroom, so it may have to be the couch. No, I've got a good wife. She's a good one. But do we have that kind of relationship with our Lord and Savior? Do you want to be close to Him? Do you want to know more about Him? You know something? Before me and Tiffany got married, we talked about things. I tried to figure her out just a little bit. I got just a little bit, Brother Dean. I figured out some of her likes and her dislikes. You know, and I tried to find out things that my wife liked. It wasn't my wife at the time, but I said, you know, I want to know what she likes because I want to be able to do that. You know, if she likes to have a flower every once in a while, I want to be able to go out and buy her some flowers or pick her some flowers and bring them to her because that would give her pleasure. It would make her happy. If she likes to eat at a certain restaurant, that's where we're going to go eat. Because I wanted to please her. I wanted to make her happy. Still yet, we don't go to McDonald's very often. Most time, that's if I do, it's by myself. And I just got where I don't like it either. As far as I'm concerned, they can shut the doors on that place. My wife likes Mexican food. And I'm tickled to death. She can cook it and I can eat it. She's good at it. But I didn't like Mexican food as much before me and her got together. I've developed a taste for it because I wanted to please her. Just as we should want to please our Lord. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you know about Him? The Bible says that He's the only begotten Son. I found out one thing about this Jehovah's Witness bunch. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. They believe that He's one of the sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." John chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, "In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." There it is again, the love of God. What do you believe about Jesus Christ's birth? Not what I believe, but what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In a lot of the other versions of Bible, the perversions, they've changed it to a young woman.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a big difference between a virgin and a young woman.
Yeah, yeah.
A big difference. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, with being interpreted as God with us."
Amen.
Yeah. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God."
Amen.
Jesus Christ's birth, he was born of a virgin. What do you believe about Christ's life? The Bible says that as a young man, young child, he was subject to Mary and Joseph. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, the Bible talks about Jesus' earthly ministry. It talks about his baptism. The Bible tells about his teachings. The Bible tells that he was tempted of the devil. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin."
Amen.
Jesus Christ was perfect.
Amen.
He lived a sinless life. The Bible says that he performed many miracles. He healed the sick and the blind and the lame. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Then Jesus answering said to them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, and how that the blind see and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor the gospel is preached." Jesus Christ lived the life that the Bible records only the Son of God could do. A lot of religions, a lot of people will say, "Well, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus." I'd be a pretty poor person that would say, "I don't even believe in Jesus." Most religions will tell you they believe in Jesus. But they don't believe that He is the Son of God. They don't believe that God and the Father are one. They don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. I talked to a man a year or so ago. Tiffany and I talked to him and his wife, and he was telling us, I believe the man was a Jew, I don't know that he was Jewish, but he was under the teachings of Jewish teachings, and had been to different seminars and things, and had a lot of answers, and he didn't believe the Bible. He said, "This Christian Bible is not God's Word. Jesus Christ was not God's Son. Oh, yes, he was a good prophet. Oh, yeah, he was a good man. Oh, yeah, he performed miracles. But he was not the Son of God. He was not the Messiah." What do you believe about Christ's life? What do you believe tonight about Christ's death? The Bible tells of Christ's death. It tells of His betrayal. how he was sold for 30 pieces of silver by Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 26. The Bible tells how Jesus was forsook by all the disciples. They all left him. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 26, then Jesus saying to them, all ye shall be offended because of thee this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Jesus, in his death, he was falsely accused. He was brought before the government of the time, the religious leaders. They condemned him guilty as a criminal, falsely. The Bible says that he was mocked. The Bible says that he was stripped and he was beaten. And then finally crucified on a cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. And they crucified him, parting his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. Jesus Christ was removed from the cross. He was placed in the grave. But on the third day, amen, he was risen victorious over sin and death in the grave. What do you believe about that tonight? There's a lot of people that have a lot of stories on that situation. People try to justify things and rationalize things and make it make sense, make it fit in a puzzle. Do you believe God's Word? The Bible says that He rose. That means He's living tonight.
Amen.
No other religion in the world can say that their Savior or their God or whatever they may have is living tonight.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is living.
Amen.
Do you believe that tonight? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He took the punishment and paid the price for all times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, the Bible says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only way to heaven tonight, in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh to the Father but by me. You say, that's pretty hardcore. You're kind of narrowing it down. Well, that's just the way it is.
Amen.
That's the way it comes down. The Bible says there's one way. You know what? That makes it pretty simple to me. I don't have to search. I don't have to look. I don't have to sort through it and figure out which way to go or how to climb over the fence or which gate to take or which door to go through. The Bible says there's only one.
Amen.
That narrows it right down.
Yes, right.
One way. What do you believe about the Bible tonight?
Yeah.
Which one is right? Do you believe that the Bible is God's Word?
Amen.
Do you believe that this Bible is God's Word to us, that is holy?
Amen.
This is God's holy Word.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This Bible was inspired of God. I've had people tell me, well, you know, it's written of men. God used men to breathe His Word. God used people to give His Word. It was inspired of men. Not written by men, but written by God.
Amen.
It's inspired. It's holy. It's God's word. Psalms chapter 138 and verse 2. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God says that his word tonight is more important. He places his word. He places this Bible that you're laying in your lap tonight. If you have a copy of this, God says that copy that's laying in your lap tonight is more valuable. He says, I'm putting that above my name. He said, this is my word. This is my truth. This is my bond. He said, yeah, I'm God. I'm Almighty. Everything that we read about God, everything that we talked about God, what you believe about God, he said, that's absolutely right, but this is my word, and this is what I'm telling you is true.
Yeah.
God puts his word above his name. Do you believe that the Bible is perfect with no mistakes in it?
Amen.
What about some of them verses that you don't quite understand?
That's my fault.
That's right. No mistakes in it.
Amen.
One thing that I noticed whenever I was dealing with this man about the existence of hell, he decided he was going to translate for me. Yeah. He's going
to
do a little translation. He said, no, hell's not a real place. He said, hell was a place in Jerusalem where they burned trash. Burned all the time. I said to him back, I said, apparently you don't believe God's word.
Right. Yep.
And when somebody starts shooting translations at me, I'm just an old hillbilly.
Amen.
I understand English.
Yep.
Okay? And I believe that God has given us His Word in English in the King James Bible right here tonight for me to read with my high school education. There's some things that I don't understand in there, but you know what? There's also a dictionary. And I was taught in school how to look one of them things up. God has given us His Word. I don't need to go to the Hebrew. I don't need to go to the Greek. I don't need to go to a translator. I just need to go to God's Word. If I can't understand it, I might need to think about it and pray about it a little bit and say, you know what, Lord? This is just beyond me. Can you help illuminate my mind a little bit right here? I don't need a translation. I told him, I said, you don't understand. I said, I think what's happening here is you're giving me these translations. When I hear translations, that makes me think that you don't believe that God's Bible can be preserved holy. You don't believe that God's Bible is true with no mistakes in it. Because you had to go to this other language to find out that hell doesn't mean hell, it means a trash pile. No. You know what the Bible says, hell, it means hell. It says that there's a lake of fire. It says that there's a place beneath our feet tonight that is burning. There's a place of torment that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It doesn't mean that trash pile off over into Jerusalem 1,000 years ago. And I didn't have to go and translate anything to find that out. I just believed God's Word.
Amen.
Believe God's Word. It's perfect with no mistakes in it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is preserved. In Psalms chapter 12 and verse number 6 and 7, the word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever.
Amen.
The Bible says that there is no private interpretations.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't make no difference what you believe. It doesn't make no difference how you read the Bible. You know what? I've heard that so many times, it makes me want to throw up and get sick in my stomach. Somebody comes up and they say, well, you know the way I read it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how you read it.
Yeah.
It's the same words. It's the same Bible. You can't move commas. You can't take and put emphasis on words that aren't emphasized. Learn how to read correctly.
Amen.
I didn't go very good in English in school. I'm going to have a hard time understanding this. But just the old hillbilly in me, English did not work out too well. I talk Douglas County. In English, I don't know where they come up with this stuff over in England or wherever it came from, but some of this English didn't work out too good. But I can understand God's Word.
Amen.
Okay? You don't have to, you don't have to try to interpret it privately. You don't get the opportunity to say, well, you know what? This is the way I see it.
Right.
And over here in this verse, and try to start taking things and putting them together and matching them up. Well, over here in chapter 7, it says this, and that's got nothing to do with that. That's talking about something totally else. The Bible says that you should rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture may have any private interpretation. It's just as plain as that. There's no more discussion about it. There's no private interpretation of the Scripture. God's Word is God's Word.
Amen.
Okay? And I don't care if you read it differently than I read it. I'm not saying that I'm right all the time. Some things I get mixed up. Sometimes I don't understand. God hasn't illuminated my eyes to different things. Brother Edgy talked about this morning in Sunday school class, a perfect example. He said, you know what, I don't understand this Scripture. And somebody come to him and said, you know what about this? And he said, you know what, that fits. That rightly divides the word of truth. That goes together. You're not trying to take a square hole and put it in a round peg. That ain't the way that works. You put the Scriptures, we go with the Scriptures. Don't try to privately interpret the Bible to make your own. Yeah. You don't want to try to make your own stuff out there.
That's right.
That's where a lot of this cult come from. You're exactly right, Brother Ed. A lot of times we'll try to privately interpret the Scripture to make things fit our desires.
Yeah.
If I was a man that wanted to drink a beer every now and then, I could find in that Scripture how it's okay for me to do that.
Right. Yeah.
If I felt like I needed to have more than one wife, I don't want more than one wife, honey. That's it. I had an uncle that used to tell me they must have to be awful hard workers to need more than one. He said, I can barely take care of the one I've got. You can justify stuff from Scripture. I've had people justify abortion to me from Scripture. They say, well, there's this verse, then there's this verse, and this is, yeah, it's right. God's Word approves of it. You can justify anything if you're not rightly dividing the Word of God. There is no private interpretation. The Bible's a light in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalms 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What do you believe tonight about life? The existence of life. The sanctity of life. How we should be living our life. The Bible has clear direction in that way. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He is written, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How should we be living our life? We should be living our life according to God's Scripture.
Yes.
Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therefore, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. How should we be living tonight? We should be living and walking our life as Christians by faith in God.
Amen.
By faith in His Word. Romans chapter 6. I believe it's verse number 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I think verse number 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. As Christians, we should be living our life in the direction of God's Word. It's God working in our lives. No more Should we be following the path of sin? But what God would have for us. What about death? What do you believe happens to you when you die? If you ask 100 different people this question, you're probably going to get 100 different answers. Some people's going to tell you that nothing. You're dead. You go back into the ground. Some people's going to tell you that you're going to come back and be a mosquito. Or something like that. A holy cow walking down the street. I eat beef. I don't want to be one.
Amen.
Some people say that you're going to get burned up if you go to hell. Annihilated.
Yep.
And it's over. Is there life after death? You know what? It's easy for us to sit here in church tonight and say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, the Bible says that. I've been taught that my whole life. What I want to know tonight is, what do you believe? I've seen too many people blow out.
Yeah.
I've seen over a 20-year period, it'd be countless numbers, Brother Edge, of families that came into this church and that went out.
Yeah.
Young people that went through this school system and have been trained and taught the gospel and showed God's word, and then they just blow out.
Yeah.
I can sit here and name to you friends that I had in school that I grew up with and that I went to school with, that I played basketball with. We went on field trips together. We sat right here in this auditorium and listened to preaching together.
Yeah.
And I can sit here and name them one after one after one after one. That's went into Jehovah Witnessism, that believes in Hinduism, that's went into Baal worship, that says, you know what, I got no use for any kind of religion, I'm done with it, I'm sick of it, I'm just living my life.
Yep.
And their life's a mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got family members that I was raised with, that I grew up with. My grandpa used to preach in Baptist churches in this country. I went to sitting in them services with cousins and family members, and they're on drugs tonight. Some of them are sitting in the jailhouse tonight. And they sat and listened to the same preaching, and they heard the same doctrine out of the same Bible that I did. And they said, yeah, I believe it. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Bible. But they blew out. Why? Because they didn't believe it. That's it. They didn't believe it. They sat there and they said, yeah, I get it. But you know what? They didn't get it. They didn't know the God of the Bible. They was carving out a God in their mind. They were trying to twist the Scriptures of this Bible to make them fit their own desires and their own words. Why did they blow out? And sit here and say, you know what, I've seen people that's been my young people that I went to school with, young people that I grew up with. I sat there and watched them get baptized. I sat there and watched them listen to them give devotions. I worked with them at Camp Joy.
Yeah.
Why? Why did they blow out?
Yeah.
They seem to have it together, Brother Ed. They seem to understand God's Word. They seem to want to live for God. I've even seen them lead people to Christ.
Yeah.
If they're not in church tonight, haven't been for a long time. That's what I want to know tonight. Young people, I want you to listen to me.
Amen.
What do you believe?
Yeah.
Amen.
Not just what does Brother Reds preach.
Right. Yep.
Not what does Liberty Faith Church believe. Not what does Mom and Daddy believe.
Yeah.
What do you believe?
Yeah.
Amen.
If you ain't got nothing set and settled in your heart and your mind tonight, you're going to blow out.
Yes.
Yes. Right.
What do you believe? What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? I'm here tonight to tell you that the Bible says hell is real, just as real as I'm standing here tonight. There's people burning below our feet. There's no relief for it. A lot of people have a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of belief systems about hell. person in the bar room tonight sitting there and says they're going to have a good time in hell, burning in hell one time. They're going to have their buddies and they're going to be a party in hell when I'm down there. We're going to continue on. We're going to be hammering them back. No. The Bible tells us the truth.
Yeah.
Hell's a place of torment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body as to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 20 verses 12 and 14. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those are some verses that I gave that man that said to me hell didn't exist. I didn't argue with him. I didn't tell him what I believe. I didn't try to convince him of nothing. I did a copy and paste. I went to the Scripture and I said, there it is. Here you go. It's not what I believe. It's what God says. What do you believe tonight? Do you know Him? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh in a reason of the hope that lieth within you, with meekness and fear. Are you ready to give an answer tonight? I thought that was when Brother Ed started talking about them Mormons before the service. I said, well, that's exactly what I'm going to be preaching on here in just a minute. Are you ready to give an answer to them? If you've got a Mormon neighbor and he comes over and he says, here's a Book of Mormon. What do you think about this? I go up here to the church house over here. Let me help you with your chores. Oh, you needing a roof put on your house there? I've got nothing to do going on this weekend. I'll come over and help. Yeah, they're good people.
Yeah.
They like to help. Do you have an answer for them whenever they say, well, you know, this is what I believe? They say, well, we got the Book of the Mormon. You know, what's that? Well, you know, I ain't never seen one. I ain't never read one. I don't know nothing about it. Honestly. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen.
I know what I believe, but I don't need to be reading the Book of Mormon. It ain't going to do me a lick of good.
That's right.
Every answer that they need is right here in the Bible.
Amen.
You know what I prayed before I sent that man, that Jehovah Witness man, the verses back on hell, and he responded back with something else, and then I responded back. I prayed and I said, God, you know what? Give me something from your word. I don't need to know what Jehovah Witnesses think. He posted this thing linked to Jehovah Witnesses deal. There's all kinds of videos on there. I opened it up. I'm like, what's this? And I started to watch it, and I said, that's a bunch of junk straight out of hell.
Amen.
I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't even want to listen to it to even find out what they think.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what they think. I know what God's Word says.
Amen.
That's all we need.
Amen.
In our text in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know who I'm believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. In closing tonight, I want to ask us tonight, myself included, what have you committed to Jesus? Not only do you believe Him, not only do you believe in Him, you might know this Bible inside out, frontwards, backwards. You can give an account and ready to give an answer to any man. You might have sat in this church house for years and years since you was bouncing on your daddy's knee. You've listened to every Sunday school message. You've listened to preachers. You've had teaching. You went through a Christian education. You've been homeschooled. You've done went through the life of Christ in ACE paces. And I know what Jesus, I know Him. But what have you committed to Him? The Bible says, it's not just knowing God. I say a lot of them young people, a lot of them people that I grew up with, they knew Bible. We memorized verses here at school. The gospel. We memorized verses at camp. But did they really know God? They might have had a head knowledge. But they didn't have a heart knowledge. What have you committed to Jesus? What have you committed to God tonight? Have you committed your soul, your spirit, your body to Jesus? You say, you know what, Brother Jeremy, I got saved. I've asked God into my heart. I want God to live within me. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be a child of the King. That's great. Is that all you've committed to Him? The Bible says He's going to keep that which you've committed to that day. Is your salvation all He's got? What about your life? What about your family? What about your freedom? What are you willing to give up for God? Are you willing to give up your family for the cause of Christ? What if everyone forsakes you? Are you willing to give up your freedom? Hey, this might be a real question here not too long.
Yes.
In this country. Are you willing to give up your freedom for the cause of Christ? Say, how could that happen? Oh, it can happen. We've seen just in the last little bit.
Yeah.
Church houses shut down.
Yeah.
Are you willing to give up your freedom? What if another pandemic comes along and they say, hey, that's the only thing that works. We're shutting them down. Pastor says we're having church. Are you going to be here?
Amen.
What if the Wright County Sheriff's Office shows up here at this door on Sunday morning after they said we're shutting it down? They put a sign on the door. Anybody that pulls up in this parking lot is going to Hartville. Are you going to be here? Are you willing to give up your freedom? For what God says is right.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not just going to jump. I'm not going to sit at the house for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks and then all of a sudden, you know, this we've been having a fight here at church, but I've just been listening online. I don't want to get in the middle of it. It's just a deal. And then all of a sudden they say, you know what? Wright County Sheriff's Office is going to be here next week. Well, hey, honey, we might as well go.
Yeah.
We're going to go take a stand now. No. You need to be given up. You need to be committed to God now.
Yes.
Right now.
Because
if you're not committed to God now, you're sure not going to do it later.
Yeah.
Don't lie to yourself. Have you given God your faith? Do you have faith in God? Do you trust Him for everything? What are you asking for? How do you pray with the Lord? You know, I think, brother, we were down at camp one time. And I remember this pretty well. Brother Van really impressed something on me. Had a tree that was needing to be taken out. It was dead. He was afraid it was going to fall on some of the cabins. He said, we got to get this tree taken out. I called Dad and I said, Dad, we got a tree down here at camp. We're going to have a work day. Would you come down and bring your cable? My dad's got a big old long piece of cable that we use to pull trees down. And we'll put that thing up in the tree, run it off down yonder, cut it right here, and pull it with the tractor or the truck or something. He'll put it where he wants it. My dad can cut trees. He knows how. He's pretty good at it. And that's why I said, Dad, come help me. Because I ain't doing this by myself. I need some help. So Dad's going to come and help me. We got down there. We got set up. We're ready to go. Cable's in the tree. Cable's tight. Tractor's pulling on it. Everything's ready. Dad's got the chainsaw started. Brother Van said, hang on just a minute. We need to pray about this.
Amen.
And Dad looked at me. He said, we're cutting a tree. I said, man wants to pray about it. Shut that saw off.
Yeah.
He said, okay. He shut the saw off. We prayed about it. Tree went right where we was wanting it to go. Everything went smooth. But it just so impressed me that the every little thing in our lives, God wants us to pray about it.
Yeah.
God wants to be in control. He wants to be involved in every little thing in your life. Have you given that to Him? Do you have faith in God? You know what? To Dad, it was like we cut trees all the time. You know, I don't think we need to pray just over this one tree, but it wasn't no big thing to Him because He just, you know, I mean, everything's it's set the way it is. It's going to go right. But when Brother Van said we need to pray about this tree, I remembered that. You know what? It may have had nothing to do with the tree. It may have just been God's way of talking to me and say, you know what? I need you to talk to me about everything.
Yeah.
Whether you think it's important or not,
yeah.
You need to have faith in me.
Yeah.
Don't put your faith in your skills. Don't put your faith in that piece of cable. Don't put your faith in the man on the tractor or your dad with the chainsaw. You need to put your faith in me.
Amen.
Have you committed to God for His service? To serve the Lord? What kind of commitments have you made to Him? How about your purity, young people? Your morality? Parents, what about your children? Have you committed your children to God? What about your spouse tonight? Have you committed your spouse to God? How committed are you? Do you know Him? Have you believed in Him? What is your level of commitment tonight? The level of commitment you have for someone or something determines how you will stick when times get tough. I talked about young people that I've known and families that's left this church, countless blowouts over the years. Brother Red preached just a week or so ago about roots. Are you rooted and grounded? What kind of storm of life is it going to take to blow you out? What kind of undermining of your faith would it take for cause you to not stand for Jesus Christ no more? Do you know whom you have believing? What are you committing to Him tonight? Let's stand.